You may be seated. We're in this adventure of the book of Revelation, and remember, it's very easy to find it because it's in the very end of the book, okay? So we cannot feel lost about that. But it's a difficult book. If I can put a drawing of the book, I perhaps will be thinking in something like this. I don't know if the children of this season have the adventure of using, I know the word in Spanish, kaleidoscopio. How do you say that in English? That word, yeah. Have you had one in your house? I love them. Don't you love them? And you shake them and then it comes with a new shape. I love those things. But when you think in Revelation, think like that. It's a group of colors together that bring one message. Don't think about chronological. We're thinking about, remember, Kairos time. It is a whole picture. This is the season of God where he's telling us the hope that we have in Christ. While many people have been thinking in this book as a difficult book and it's about darkness and all this judgment, what we learn more and more is actually it's a book of hope. There are seven beatitudes in this book that reminds us the hope that we have as the children of God in every time of the world and also in every time of our own lives. And today we're learning about who is who as a Christian. I learned about this meaning of who is who as a student in the United States when I moved here in this country. And I understand that you give this kind of award to those that are really excellent students, right? You give that. And I'm sure that many of you won that or wish it very strongly. But there is one person that I think deserves that award, and it is right now that is the month of February is when we celebrate also the African American heritage and celebration. And this man, his name was Alexander Twilight Hall, was the very first African American man able to finish a college degree. In 1867, do you realize how difficult that was? And it was also related with ministry. So he was going to college also to serve in ministry. So I am sure that for him, it was not just the battle of education, but also the battle of coming and as a group of minority and with all the racism that was at that time too, coming up and say, I am going to go through this education. Isn't that great? And we see how God has opened doors for many of our African American sisters and brothers. And we are rich because of this diversity. And we are so rich here because we have it in home. So I am excited about that. So one of the things we have learned too is that who's who as a Christian? What distinguishes us as Christians? What makes me an excellent Christian? Is there something that I need to do or how can I get there? And the first thing is that we are Makarios. Very good. Makarios, that means? All right, guys, you rock for Jesus. Makarios, that means blessed. Now, how does this word came to be at that blessing? It started, remember, that originally that word was assigned for those Greek gods. So any god was a Makarios. But then that word moved to also add all of those who die. And because they die and they became now holy, then they are called also Makarios. This is why we celebrate All Saints Day. It's part of that tradition and that belief. Then, during the time of Jesus, this world had a very deep change. And the ones who were Makarios were the wealthy, the people of power, those of high elite, highly hierarchical, the ones in the very top of the hierarchy. So those were the Makarios. So just think about the impact that had when Jesus is saying, do you want me to tell you who's really Makarios? Do you think it's these wealthy people? And here he comes with the Beatitudes. And then he says, Makarios really is those who are blessed are the poor in spirit, the ones who mourn, meek, hungry for God, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, and persecuted. Totally a contrast with what the people were expecting. So he's telling them, you are really blessed when you see your life through the eyes of Christ and empowered by Christ. Now, in Revelation, we are learning that the word blessed is the name for all the church. If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is your Savior, can you shout amen? Amen. If you know that your life is in a different place because of God moving in your life, can you say amen? Amen. You guys are running well to be Pentecostal. Right, I'm happy for that. You know, because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. Right, Jackie and Mom, those are my number one. Okay, so what we learn in there is that if you are part of the capital C of the church, we are part of that group that is Makarios, is blessed. It's not, is it because we were so nice and wonderful? Because we speak Spanish? That helps a little bit, but not really. But why are we part of that church? Why is it that we are there? It's because we have been able to receive that blessing of the Lamb of God. Remember that in Revelation, we can see over 20 times the scripture talking to us about Jesus as the Lamb of God. A beautiful image of this soft, cute animal, but with the power of redemption for us, to restore us to be in that place of connection with Christ, but also restore the whole shalom and the whole balance of communion with Christ. We're going to talk a lot more about shalom during our Lent season. But what is happening with this is when your life has a connection with Christ, it has an impact. It has an impact. It must be able to be perceived and seen by people that are outside of you. You see what I'm saying? So, for example, if your team is winning, what will you do? Hi, I'm so happy. My team is winning. Hooray. Will you do that? You don't do that. I know you guys. You will not do that. You will be jumping up and down. That's why I don't watch a lot of the football, because my TV gets in danger. Because if I start looking at soccer and I start shouting, I start giving directions to them, like, move the ball the other way. What's wrong with you? ¿Qué tienes, compadre? Fíjate cómo estás la pelota, you know? So, and then I start praying for them. God, give him wisdom. Give him, ponlo ahí, Señor. Ponlo. Please, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just lead Jesus. Thank you so much. I mean, I get like that. So it's really, really embarrassing. My kids look at me and they say, do you understand that they can hear you? I'm like, yeah, I know. But you see, because I'm excited about what's going on. But think about it. Your life and mine are in a totally different place because of that connection with Christ. And if it's not happening to you, I invite you today to come to that connection. But we all here can say, I was lost, very lost, in the darkness, in sadness, in lack of faith and hope. I was in a place where I didn't even understand why my life was even here, and perhaps I didn't even want to be alive. But now in Christ, I can see my problems, I can see the difficulties that I go in life, but I have a Savior who sustains me step by step on those moments. And I know that what I live, I'm not living it alone, but the Holy Spirit is walking with me step by step. And when I feel that I'm broken and I go back to the floor, I found that Jesus has been able to take me back up and give me hope and life. The most beautiful thing that we have as Christians, my brothers and sisters, is that we can have hope again after we have done the biggest mistake, after we have been down in the darkness. We can come back and have hope again. Amen. That's our story. That's your story. But that's something that produces a change. And what it mainly means is what we find in John, that it says, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. It is through that grace that we're capable to communicate to others so other people can see what happens when a person has come to a relationship with Christ. And one of the things that also we learn through this book of Revelation is that in every aspect we have a name through Christ. We have a special position. Now, Revelation 20 is a difficult one. If you already read it, I had a member in the staff that I'm not going to mention the name, that he said, what did John smoke to get that one? And I said, no, it's the Holy Spirit. Don't confuse here. Wow, how this, it's a difficult one, because Revelation 20 is talking about how this angel has these chains, and he comes and chains Satan. But what's difficult to get is, it says that just for a period of time. So you are like, okay, Jesus, in my math, that doesn't work. If you already have him chained, why to let him go later? Why not just to keep him like that? But you see, one of the ways I understood that is through a movie. And you know, forgive me, because I'm bringing you again from that same movie of The Lord of the Rings. And in that, you know what I'm talking about, right? Everybody. If you don't like Super Bowl, you can watch that movie. So you remember what it is. And then there is this huge little creepy guy. You know, what's his name? What? Gollum. He's creepy. I don't like him. Every time that I watch the movie, now that I have the movie, I pass the scenes of him because I don't really like the guy. And he's like, precious, precious. You know, very, that's with Mexican accent. I'm sorry. I see you, Rebecca and Rusty. And so that's the Mexican guy. So, but the thing is, this guy, I'm thinking, why do they even have him in the movie? I don't like the purpose of this guy. But the author of this, The Lord of the Rings, is actually a Christian guy. And he comes to a very good point, and Abel is the one who told me about it. He says, it has a purpose. His life has a purpose, because at the end, it was because of him that they were able to take that ring that was making so much damage, and through his death, that ring disappeared. And it is a similar situation with Satan. Yes, Satan is going to be around, and he's around, and he's coming. And the main way and characteristic that we know about Satan is that he's the accuser. He constantly is accusing us. Hasn't happened to you that you can have come with God and say, okay, God, I know I did this wrong. I'm trying to live a life that is a result of your love. But sometimes I have like this little voice reminding me all the mistakes that I did, like a cloud. Have you had that? Or is it just a pastoral privilege? You know, it's like this cloud following you, like, how come are you going to call yourself a preacher? Do you remember when you did this wrong and down? And why in the world do I have this? Because Satan is the accuser. And what he's trying is to put you down and keep telling you this is who you are. But what we do is we need to tell to that voice, stop talking. I am a child of God. I'm a person that is redeemed. And I have dealt with this with the Lord. But the accuser, one of the roles is he'll be around accusing people. But there will be a point when God says, now there is nobody else to accuse. And in that moment, the scripture says, there's no battle. There is just a destruction of the enemy. And that's why we bring hope and where we have hope. But in the process of that, there is a group that is called the group of, Christians. Or the church. Let me just go back because it came faster than I thought. Speedy Gonzalez. All right. This is what it is. There is a group of Christians and the church that is just saying that they are part of this blessing that God has provided. And it gives us specific names. It says, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. This is a group of people that have been with integrity as Christians. They have been able to say, I'm not going to let my life be tempted, and I'm not going to fall on that temptation. I'm going to keep that identity as a Christian. And I think that in many ways, we are there right now. It's so easy for us to get contaminated or to accept other things that come and shape our lives in a way that is not really coming from Christ. But this group is blessed because of keeping themselves together as a Christian person. And through that, we can see these characteristics that can be our characteristics too. The first one is being Makarios, blessed. The opportunity that you and I have to be in that place that God provides to us that we just talked about. The second thing he's asking us is to be holy. Now, if I come to you right now and I said, are you holy? What's your answer? What will you say? If you say yes, you got the right answer. Because this is what happened. We keep believing that to be holy means I'm not doing mistakes, I'm never committing a sin. That's not to be holy. And that sets us aside and actually confuses us even more. To an extent, it's even giving us permission to misbehave. Because you see, I'm not holy. Holy, leave that to Nate. He's holy. Lupina, no. No, it's not like that. And I know Nate. He's not totally holy. No, kidding. He's holy too. But what we learn is this. We are holy not because of our actions. We are holy because my heart and God's heart, your heart and God's heart are in sync. When we say, okay, God, take my life. And now I want my thoughts, my mind, my hours, my money, who I am, be in sync with you. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to be perfect. No. Does it mean that I'm going to do mistakes? Yes. Does it mean that sometimes I'm going to fall again in my sin? Yes. But then you come back and you put yourself back in sync. Does it make sense? So in other words, to be holy, talking about this sport topic, is you are drafted. You know what is that? In sports, we do that in soccer. I don't know about in other sports. But drafted, it means like, okay, we're going to pick this player. And we're going to pick it because of the characteristics of the player. In our case, they picked us up because of the characteristics of us, is that we decided to say, Jesus, I am here. I am that who accept your amazing grace, because I was totally in sin, but you came and saved me. And through that, we were drafted for Christ. And the next thing that we are too is we're priests of God and of Christ. This is another word where we think that when we talk about priests, is you're talking just about people who are in ministry full time, pastors or no. This is not what the scripture says. Actually, the definition of priest in there is very special. It says, is purified by the blood of Christ and brought into close connection with God. They devote their life to him alone and to Christ. So who's included in that place? You. All of us. We are included. We have been purified by Christ, and we want to say, all who I am, God, is yours. Amen? Is that our prayer every day? Could it be that that becomes our prayer? That we say, God, during this time, allow me to really everything that I am, everything that I have, let it be yours. And let people know that. It reminds me like this picture. This is the number one fanatic on Mexican soccer. Just think about, I don't even know how in the world was he able to drive his car with that big penacho in his head. I mean, even if he fit in a truck. But the guy invested, totally invested in showing to the world that he's devoted to be a follower of the Mexican team. That's kind of who should we be. We need to show through our words, through our way of living, we are devoted to Christ. We represent him, and we are sharing about him in this world. So one of the things that we learn in here is how John, the one who wrote Revelation, how he brings that idea of this life of Macarius. And he makes it very different than Paul in the scripture. This is something that N.T. Wright, who's a really good theologian, said. He says, what is called justification by faith. You know that term, right? Justification by faith is when you come and you say to Jesus, yes, Jesus, what you did in the cross is for me. Justification by faith, in Paul, John called that how? A miracle. Are the miracles. The miracle of the relationship of God and people. That miracle creates case by the life of the Christian in such a way that what he is in this earth is enhanced by the presence of God in his or her life. In other words, you and I are a living miracle. Amen? Because Christ is in our lives, and we are capable to do things that are just happening because of our relationship with Christ. This is why when we receive members, we're very intentional in asking these questions. Are you going to support with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, service, and witness? It's not just to go with a check mark. It is because we expect that you're going to show maturity in your growth, and we expect to show you that because of our relationship with God. So today in this communion, I invite you just to embrace the miracle of life that you have in Christ. The miracle that you can say, God, I was lost, but now I am found. God, now I want to be able to communicate to the world that my life is different because of your presence. And God, because of that, I want also to be able to live a life that is going from grace to grace. So when we come to communion, we remember and we accept the fact that the sacrifice of cross brought us to be part of that miracle. Because on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he gathered with his friends and he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take, eat, this is my body that is given for all of you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after that, he took the cup of the new covenant, and he said, take, drink, This is my blood that will be poured out for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me. So it is in the Lord Jesus Christ that all of us who have been broken or in darkness, we can be part of a miracle. It is because of the Lord Jesus Christ that all of us who were empty and in a place that we felt, I'm not going to be able to stand up again, it is through Christ that we are able to be part of a miracle of life with Him. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward.